All right, in chapter 1, you recall Daniel had purposed in his heart, Daniel, his friend Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, purposed in their hearts that they would not defile themselves by eating what the king put in front of them. It was a king's menu. And they refused it because they knew that some of it was forbidden by the Lord. Some of it had been offered to idols, and they didn't want to take the chance and try to figure out which is which. So they just refused and asked permission to eat their own diet. They were given a test for 10 days. They looked good and healthy. And so you recall, the Lord had mercy on them, and they were able to eat their diet, which was pulse, which was grains and vegetables. They'd given their hearts to the Lord before the trial began. And when the trial came, they were prepared. They had already purposed in their hearts. And we learn, so for me and for you, now is the time to give our hearts to the Lord completely. For whatever might come tomorrow, whether it be a hurricane or whether it be an explosion or whether it be winning the lottery, whatever it turns out to be out there, that we give our hearts to the Lord right here, right now. None of us do it right. None of us claims to do it right. Don't put each other down for not doing it right. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. Hold each other up. Don't tear each other down. So we go to Daniel chapter 2. In the second year of reign of King Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. Boy, I love the King James. Basically, Nebuchadnezzar had control, in theory, of the greatest kingdom on the earth. The Babylonian kingdom. It was the greatest. God's going to even tell you that. The only thing that would be greater than Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom will be the Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom when he returns. Nebuchadnezzar had a great kingdom, and it covered the known world. Now, I admit to you, if you'll take a look at a map, Greece wasn't really a part of it. But Greece was this little bitty nothing at that time. It's going to be a long time from now that Greece will come to power. So you see, Nebuchadnezzar controlled or oversaw really the earth, the known world at the time. And he goes to bed, and as he's laying there in his bed, he's wondering what's going to happen to this empire. I wonder what will happen. Now, do you ever do that? Sure, you probably do. You lay down, maybe you're going to take a nap. Maybe you're just sitting there quietly all by yourself and you think, I wonder what will be next. You know, there was 9/11, and that was a difficult time. There was Hurricane Katrina, but probably, should this world go on, there'll be other things. And you think, what will happen to the Babylonian kingdom? As Nebuchadnezzar's lying there in bed, thinking, what's it going to be like? How long will this last? I wonder what comes after this kingdom. I wonder, when I die, who will take it? And all those things are going through his head. And he had a dream. As he drifted off to sleep, he had a dream that so troubled him, he woke up and couldn't go back to sleep. That's what the King James means when it says his sleep broke from him. It broke away from him. He couldn't catch it. He couldn't sleep. If he lived in our day, he could just take a pill. But back then, he couldn't get it. Then the king, this is the next day, commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. The king summoned the wise men of this greatest kingdom. This is a large, vast kingdom, and these are the wisest men in it. These are the brain trust of Babylon. These are the PhDs. These are the think tank guys. They're the wisest, most educated in the land. They're the astrologers, the magicians, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans who headed up the bunch. They were those who claimed to be able to tell the future. Not just the future. They claimed they had the ability to discern the present as well as the future. They could tell you what will happen to you today as well as down the road. These are the New Agers of his day, the occultists. Those who were in touch with their inner selves, with their ascended masters, with the 66 forces from Shambhala, with the Force. These guys were intact. And so he calls them. Says, I had dreams and it freaked me out. I'm paraphrasing. I had a dream and I don't understand it and I want to know what it means. So he calls upon who else? The wisest, most educated in the land. Verse 4 says, then spoke the Chaldeans. They kind of oversee this occult New Age group. Then spoke the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, Aramaic. And they said, O king, live forever. That's how you talk to kings. You know, before you say anything, you got to make them feel good. O king, live forever. They probably think, die next week for all I care. But O king, live forever. That's how you talk to kings. Just write that down. O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation. I can almost see the looks on the faces of these smart guys. We call them the wise guys. I can see it. Oh, a dream. Whoa. You got us up for this, huh? Well, O king, live forever. Tell you what. Tell us the dream. We'll tell you what it meant. You know, like, no big deal. That's not a big deal. I thought this was going to be something really important. Pretty brash when you say, you tell us a dream, we'll tell you the interpretation. Come on. Look at verse 5. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known to me the dream and the interpretation, or with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made a dunghill. Now, in our language, that's a negative thing. To be cut in pieces and your house made a rubble of pile and trash, burned and crushed to the ground. Now, you notice over in the Middle East, they still do that. You've seen Israel at times. When they find a suicide bomber, they go to the family and they crush or tear the house to rubble. You've seen that happen. Well, this king is known for this. I'll cut you to pieces and I'll make your house as a dunghill. Not a positive in your life. But if you show the dream, verse 6, and the interpretation thereof, if you tell me what the dream was and the interpretation, then you shall receive of me gifts and rewards, great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation also. I like it. You tell us the dream, king, and we'll tell you what it meant. Now, this guy, Nebuchadnezzar, is known for his volatile, super violent temper. I mean, he goes from semi-sane to out of control in a rage within seconds. I think today that if you did that, it would be titled something. You'd get your own three letters, LMNOP, ADD, whatever it is. It's given a name and then you get a pill for it. And that pill make you go to sleep. That's what Neb needed anyway. But you know something? He must have gotten some pitiful advice from them in times past. I'll tell you why. He doesn't trust them. Notice that? I call the wisest men in the land, the most educated, the smartest that there are, the ones that deal with the out there. I mean, they're always bringing in their crystals and their little doily things and throwing them around and saying, oh, whoa. And they throw the bones and they read them and they read your feet and they read your palms and they read up your nose. And you're going, whoa, man. But notice the king is a little skeptical. He says, God says, you tell us a dream, we'll tell you what it meant. No. You know what? I don't trust you. So you tell me what I dreamed and the interpretation. If you don't, I'll kill all of you and destroy your homes. Incentive. Now, they knew this king would do that. He was known for his brutality. Now, if you can't tell me the dream and you can't, then you obviously can't tell the interpretation, then you die. It's not a problem. I don't have a problem with that. And I'll destroy your homes. But if you can tell me the dream and the interpretation, I'll bless you, man. I'll make you rich. I'll give you honor. I mean, you'll just be thrilled. So what's it going to be? You know, here's what the king's thinking. I am not convinced that these guys really are dealing with any kind of thing out there. They claim to be in touch with the higher powers, you know, the ascended masters, the force. But I don't believe it. They could prove it. I'll ask them to prove it. I don't believe it. You tell me the dream, and then you tell me the interpretation. Certainly, if you tell me the dream, and it's right, I'll certainly listen to the interpretation of that, no problem. That's very logical. But if you don't, you can't, well, problem. Even today, there are those who claim to be able to tell the future. They can tell, they want to read your palm, and I hope you don't do palm readers. Palm readers, it's like a joke. They read your palm and they tell you what has already happened to you. You know, I already know what happened to me. Tell me I didn't pay you money for this. Nobody's impressed if somebody tells you what happened yesterday. We could all read about that. But when you go to this palm reader and they say, give me your money and I'll tell you about you. And they look at you and say, what's your name? And you tell them, you tell me. I paid. And you'd be amazed at how they don't know. I'm not getting anything. I'm not getting anything. Starts with a B. It's a joke. They're not dealing with anything out there. It's worldly wisdom. It's a joke. It'll make people rich. You know, if psychics really were psychics, they'd be rich. They'd win the lottery. When was the last time you heard a psychic winning the lottery because they knew all the numbers? When I mentioned that to a psychic, she said, well, we're honest. Yeah. Well, there's another thing. You're a liar too, huh? If you knew those numbers, you'd be playing them, girl. Don't you kid me. They don't. I saw a television program. This guy was great. I mean, he's there and he trans-channels people's relatives or close friends. And you got a crowd of 400 people. And he goes, someone in here knowing Ernie. Finally, 50 people raised it. Ernie, oh, yeah, I had a cousin. He never spoke to me. He was my second. Ernie, yeah, oh, yeah, Ernie. He wants to talk to you. Really? He's never wanted to talk to me before. You know, you're thinking, you don't believe this, do you, mister? You're great. You don't believe this, right? Oh, yeah. I was an Ernie in my family. Nebuchadnezzar says, okay, you know what? Okay, fine. Tell me the dream and tell me the interpretation. And if you're really dealing with this, then do it. You told me you would. Do it. If not, I'll kill you. If you do, I'll make you rich. Verse 7, so then they answered and said, well, let the king tell his servants to dream, and we'll show you. You got to tell us what you dream, and we'll show you the interpretation. The king answered and said, I know for sure that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show the interpretation thereof. They say, all right, now, King, come on. You tell us what the dream is, and we'll tell you what it means. And the king says, I like his language. You're stalling for time. I know exactly what you're trying to buy time. You haven't got a clue, do you? You're going to go, I'll tell you the dream. You're going to go put your heads together, come up with some stupid thing that's going to sound good. You'll tell me, you'll be happy. You'll think I'll be happy. You'll go on collecting your paychecks and you're dealing not even with reality. He says, no, I'm not going to do it. You're trying to buy yourself some time. I'm not going to have it. We're going to put you to death. I like his logic, even though he's not really solid and you're going to see some changes in the king. It's good logic. If you could tell me the dream, you could certainly tell me the interpretation. If not, you're a bunch of fakes. A bunch of charlatans. You're just a carnival act. I don't trust you guys. So tell me the dream and the interpretation. Verse 10. Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such a thing of any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requires, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. I like it. They just admitted they're dealing with nothing. No man alive, they're saying, no man can do that. It can't be done. And because no man can do it, King, what you're asking is absolutely unreasonable. You can't ask us to tell you the dream. Our gifts are interpreting the dream. The only ones who could possibly know are the gods. They just told you they're not in communication with any powers out there, didn't they? Notice that? And those gods don't dwell with men. That would take something bigger than a man. And we're just men. They just admitted they're working with nothing. They just admitted they're a carnival act. Christian, did you hear that? The next time you go to the fair, don't have your feet red. Save your money. I'm sure God bless you, nice feet. If you preach the gospel, the Bible says you have beautiful feet. But don't waste your money on a carnival act that's fake. Even the king realizes it. And they said, you're not being reasonable. No man could do that. I agree with them. Can't be done. No man could do it. It's not reasonable. No king, no lord, no sane individual. They're treading on thin water here. Nebuchadnezzar gets mad easily. You can't ask that. It's unreasonable. It can't be done. Verse 12. For this cause, I told you, for this cause, the king was angry and very furious. I told you, I tried to warn the Chaldeans. He gets angry quickly. And when he does, you do not know what he'll do next. This king is known for being out of control. Many thought he was insane. And for a little while here in another couple of chapters, you're going to see that he probably is. Well, he was very angry and furious, meaning he was so livid he was out of control. And he commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Oh, what a smart command. Kill them all the wise men. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be killed, slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Did you think about that? Even though Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're not there at this moment. I think they were smart to stay out of this little fracas thing. But anyway, they're not there. But the command is kill all the wise men. That would include Daniel and his three friends. That's a bummer. They belong to the Lord. But you see, the king is angry. So whatever. All right, kill every one of them. We're going to kill all the wise men in the land. That would include Daniel and his three friends. That's really pretty hasty. Verse 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom, in our language, politely, respectfully, but wanting to understand. He asked Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and he said to Arioch, the king's captain, verse 15, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. See, here's what happens. When they come to arrest Daniel, he has no idea what's going on. You're under arrest. We're going to have to put you to death. I just got up. I mean, I haven't even gone outside. I haven't done anything. What are you talking about? But he was respectful. Do you notice the Bible gives the language that he was respectful? He said, I don't understand. I'm not sure what's going on. I do not understand what's happening here. And the king, why is the king's command so hasty? Why does he want to put me to death right now? I mean, what's going on? And Arioch explains to Daniel, the king had a dream, and I mean, it really frustrated him. It frightened him. And he called in the wise men to help him understand. And they made him upset. I mean, he wanted to know what the dream was. And he wanted to know the interpretation. The wise men said, you can't do that. No man can do that. And so now all of them have to be put to death. So I'm here. I'm sorry, Daniel. I have to put you to death. Daniel asks permission of the king. And he asked this question. Would you please give me a little time? If you give me a little time, it would show the king the dream and the interpretation. His is not brashness. When the others were there, tell us a dream, we'll tell you the interpretation. That's not Daniel's attitude at all. Daniel's attitude is this. You give me some time, and I should be able to tell the king the dream and then what it meant. Now, you know something? That's simple faith. Do you ever pray believing that God's going to hear you and answer you? Do you know in the New Testament, of course, we're told to pray often, but do you know in the New Testament we're told to pray and expect by faith and expect an answer? Do you know that if you are truly born again, if you are, if God really lives in your heart, do you know that according to Scripture, there is in a Christian's life, there is no such thing as an unanswered prayer? I've talked to Christians. Well, I've been praying. Well, what's God saying? He hasn't answered. You know, God's answers very clearly. Sometimes he says, no, I've heard it. I remember being little, you know, I said to my dad, you know, you're six. Dad, can we get a shotgun? My brother's five. We want to go play with it. And my dad's answer was pretty clear. No. Well, why not? Because I'm the dad. Oh, boy, today you'd have to go take a drug for that if your dad said that to you. Another pill. What? I'm 6 years old. I'll explain it to you when you're 37, dude, if you're mature then. But then there was a time I remember coming to my dad saying, Dad, you know, we were looking at this shotgun for some bird hunting. And I remember him saying, you know what? I'm not sure you're old enough. Let me think about it. What was he just telling me? Wait. I've heard him say no. I've heard him say wait. I've heard God say yes. Well, when God says, when you pray and God says yes, you have no problem with that. You don't go, why did you do that? How come you say, why? What's wrong with you? Why did you say yes? I've never heard any Christian yet. Have you? Complaining. He answered. Oh, that makes me so sick. What's wrong with God? No, it's usually the other way when he says no. What's wrong with him? I prayed and he said, no. What do you mean no? Who do you think you are? You know, we need to ask in faith, not wavering. We need to ask in faith. And I know that God will answer you. I know he will. But there are times when his answer is not so appreciated by me. And he says, Bob, you're too young. Wait. Oh, I'm too young. I'm 32. What are you laughing at? What do you mean, no? I can handle it. I'm so glad that the girl I wanted to marry was busy that week. I am so glad. He knew what it would be like on the other end. He knew. Aren't you glad that there are times when the Lord told you no? Lord, I just want to, I know, and I love your heart for it. Bob, stick with me. Well, you said no. I know. I got something so much better than that. Don't even trust me. And then you have to, because it's all out there where you can't get to it and can't see it, you know. Here's Daniel. Not brashness, faith. He asked for time. Now, wait a minute. Look at this. Do you remember in chapter 1, Daniel, just a kid, 15, 16, 17 years old. And the chief over the eunuchs, the ruler over the eunuchs, he just took a liking to Daniel. Remember, God blessed Daniel. And the chief eunuch said something like this. I don't know. I like this kid. Why? No, I don't know. I don't know him that well. I just like his attitude. I don't know. I like this kid. So he took him under his wing. And I just like him. Now notice, when the others ask for some time, Lord, our king, you got to tell us the dream and give us some time. And the king said, no, I want to know now. Tell me the dream and the interpretation. I'll kill you. When they asked for time, he said, you're just trying to buy some time. I don't trust you guys. He said, I'm going to put you to death now. But when Daniel asked for time, do you notice what the king says? Okay. Now think about it. Why? Because Daniel belongs to the real king, to the Lord. And Daniel, when he asked for time, the king thought, well, I don't know what this kid wants time. That's just so stupid. I'm mad. Okay. Why? Because the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And the Bible says the Lord turns that heart whichever way he wants it to go. You got that? Do you belong to the Lord? Do you belong to the Lord? You know, you've got it made, Christian. You belong to the King of the universe. You have nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to fear at all. And when God says no, it's good. It's always right and is good. And when God says wait, but Lord, I want to. All right, wait. You know, you say, I want to serve you, Lord. I feel called to ministry and I want to serve you. And God says, good. Wait. And during this time, just serve. Just go ahead and serve and wait. And you know, we're American. We don't like to wait.
hey, I'm more American than you all. I come from the town where the very first McDonald's drive-thru window was. They tested it in a little town out of the way, away from normal people. They tested it there, and if it worked there, they were going to put it all across America. Well, guess what? We were in a town that just couldn't wait, man. So they started it there first. You don't have to go inside. Even though you have to get out of your car, just drive through. It won't be right, but at least you'll get something to eat. It wasn't until the year 2000 and past that they required that the people that work at the window speak English. I like fries and a Coke. Okay, would you like fries with that? No. Just the fries and the Coke will do. I'd like a half a dozen of those chicken things. Can't sell you those. Well, we can only sell you 6 or 20. Won't sell me half a dozen, but you'll sell me 6? Yes, sir. All right. I wanted half a dozen, but I'll take 6. If you work at a drive-in window, boy, God bless you. What do they train people that way? Anyway, I got off this. Look at verse 17. Daniel went to his house after he got some permission from the king, a little time. And he made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his friends, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Daniel, I like it. You know, I don't know you, but I know sometimes you get this feeling. There's a death sentence been put out on you. Do you know that? And so you say, no, I didn't know. Okay, could you give me a little time? Yeah, you got till tomorrow morning. Okay, when you go home and you start packing, where are you going, Bob? I don't care, man. I'm out of here. Midnight, I'm sneaking out the wall. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we got to get out of here because he's going to kill all the wise men. And even though we're not that wise, we're included and we didn't do anything. Man, let's get out of here while the getting is good. We got at least a day or so. Let's go. Sounds like the Christian thing to do, but what did they do? Instead of panicking and packing, they prayed. That's got another P. Panic, pack. Anyway. He goes through 3 friends. He says, guys, we need to pray. We're going to put all the wise men to death. That includes us. We need to pray. We need to desire mercies of the God of heaven. You see that term used quite a bit in Daniel, the God of heaven. Why? He used to be the God of Israel. But you see, the glory, the Shekinah glory of the Lord left the temple years ago. And remember, the temple is going to be destroyed pretty quickly here. Daniel's already in captivity. More are on the way. And the Shekinah glory, the glory of the Lord left the temple and left Jerusalem. Now he's no longer the God of Israel. They call him the God of heaven. He's still their God. It's just he no longer dwells. His glory no longer dwells there. Well, he says we need to pray. We need to cry out to God that he would have mercy on us and show us the dream and the interpretation. Under the sentence of death, Daniel and his 3 friends do the wisest thing they could do. Pray. Whenever things go wrong in your life and it looks like it's catastrophic, where you have no idea that you're going to pull through this, pray first. Pray. Cry out to God. He says we need to desire mercy from the Lord, the God of heaven. Desire mercy. Just pray. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Don't worry or be careful or be anxious for anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Pray. You're working along, you're trying to do your best. You come to your parents and you say, I want to do this. Your parents say, absolutely no. As a matter of fact, I think you're grounded till you're 30. I'm only 12. What do? Kick and stomp and go on a starvation diet, or you just break the windows out, or you just spit at your mother, or you could pray. What do you think is going to get results? I know the results that would have gotten if I had spit at my mother. I wouldn't be here. Someone else would have this job. I wouldn't have seen 13. In love. And then when my dad came home and heard that my mother had to do that to me, he would have done it again if I'd still breathing. Yeah, I was abused, obviously. Like I tell some of the youth now, don't get too close to me. I got scruples. You don't want to catch them. Think about that later. You'll get that. It's funny. It's really funny. Pray. Pray. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Pray. But this is a situation that's absolutely volatile. Are you kidding? Pray. The bigger the circumstance, the quicker the pray. Usually that's one of the few things we do after we've packed and gotten out of town. All right, Lord, they were going to kill me. I'm out here. What do you think? What should we do now? Elijah, what are you doing here? Well, the queen was going to kill me. You just defeated 450 prophets of Baal and you run from a woman? Yeah, well, she's going to kill me. She's going to cut my head off. Jezebel is wild. What are you doing in this cave? I just told you I stood up for you. I'm the only one that stands up for you anymore. And God says, Elijah, I have 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. At that point, I would have been going, uh-oh. If I'm not the only one, he could let me die up here. He doesn't need me anymore. What are you doing here? Well, I ran for my life. I stood up for you. And they're going to Elijah, get back down there. I've got work for you to do. And I want you to pick your replacement. That would have scared me too. Elisha, I want you to throw your mantle over him and pick your... I'll leave the cave. I'll leave. You don't want to do that, guys. What you want to do is pray. Pray. Don't be afraid to pray. James tells us the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Really works. Pray. That's what Daniel and his three friends did. Under the sentence of death, they prayed. Let's look at verse 19. I'll hurry. Then, after prayer, was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Not a dream, but in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God. This is verse 20, forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness and the light, dwells with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. I like that. So it's a lesson for me. What's the lesson? God answered his prayer, gave him a vision in the night. He saw the dream and God gave him the interpretation. So he runs out quick, takes his nightie off, puts his clothes on, runs out in the middle of the night and goes to the king. So don't kill all the wise men, especially me, because I got it. I got it. I told you I would. And here's the dream and here's the No, he didn't do that. What did he do first? Get it, Christian. Get it. What did he do first? He thanked the Lord. He praised the Lord. Instead of running straight to the palace and says, I got it. No, he first worships God. Take the time to worship. When I read to you Philippians 4, 6 and 7, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. He thanked God. He says this. He is the God who changes times and seasons. What does that mean to us? Well, let's just say in our language, he's the one in complete control of everything. Everything. The God that you serve is in control of everything. Yes, even the United States government. Yes, he is even in control of all the things that are going on in the planet. He is God Almighty. He's in control. And that's what Daniel says. He changes times and seasons. He's in complete control. Wisdom and might belong to the Lord. He removes kings. He sets up kings. Think now. King Nebuchadnezzar, that king on the throne of Babylon, God allowed him there. Our God is in command of this earth and all that is in it. He's in command of this universe and all those. He is in command over all. He is God Almighty. He's the one that reveals secrets. He sees what's in the dark just as well as he sees what's in the light, because he is in the light. I thank you, he says, and I praise you, O God of my fathers. You see, our God is good all the time. It doesn't feel like it sometimes. But I do remember growing up and the things that I had to do and some of the discipline that I had received, I didn't like it. There were times when I thought my parents were so unfair. Boy, was I dumb. I remember my mother just looking at me in her Italian way. She said the funniest things because she had this language all mixed up and everything was backwards. But pretty much she got this one straight. She said, if all your friends jumped in a lake, would you? Looking at me like that's a rhetorical question. And I looked back at her and said, yeah, wouldn't you? She said, no. I thought, you Italians are so weird. And now I say that to the people I know. What are you doing? Well, everybody's doing it. If all your friends jumped in a lake, would you? And you know what they answer me? Sure. What's wrong with you? Yeah. Time to grow up. Sometimes that punishment or that chastisement, we hate it. But you know, if God didn't love you, He would do nothing. You got that? You see, if my parents didn't love me, they would have said, I don't care what time you come in. I don't care. I'm going now. I don't care. We don't love you. I hope you die there. Well, I'm headed for school. You know, I don't care. Big deal. So what? Well, I'll be home at 3. Nobody cares. No, it wasn't that way in my house. What time are you coming back? Mom, I'm not even gone yet. I want to know what time you're coming back. Well, I might be late. I might be up waiting for you, too. I might have your dad wait for you. Don't do that. It's okay. I'm going to be back really early. Man, you want me back at midnight? I'll be back at 9:30. If they didn't love me, they wouldn't have done that. Don't you know if the Lord didn't love you, He wouldn't care. But because He cares, He's got the Holy Spirit on your back quite a bit, doesn't He, lately? What are you doing? Now, you know better than saying that. Apologize. The Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. You shouldn't have said that. I know. Well, go ahead. You know what you got to do now? I know. Well, I can't do it. I'll do it with you. Come on. They thanked the Lord. They praised the Lord. Then he goes to the king. Therefore, Daniel went into Arioch, verse 24. When the king had ordered to destroy the wise men of Babylon, he went and he said to him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king and I will show the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste. He hurried, brought him in before the king and said this to the king. I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known to the king the interpretation. Don't you like this guy? I found a guy. I found a guy that can do it. Yeah. When we were kids, we'd go to the store and come back. And I was so excited. You'd come running in and say, Mom, we bought some ice cream. And my dad would calmly and quietly say, yeah, we killed a bear and Pa shot it. What was he telling me? You had nothing to do with getting that ice cream. Dad bought that ice cream. No, we did. You know, when I was, I just got out of the police department, had gone back home, and a guy had stolen a piece of equipment, and he was running for his life, and I saw the manager of the store, and I saw a couple of ladies that were after him, and he was carrying some kind of pole. I think he had was going to use that to hurt people with. And Josh is about, I don't remember, I think he was 4 or 5 years old at the time, and so he's got his nose under the dashboard. His eyes are this big staring at this big bad man running down the street. So I hopped in the car and I drove. Josh said, what are we going to do? I said, we'll go down to where he's going to. Why run? We'll just go down to where he's going and we'll stop him down there. And so we got down there and the guy came running. I was leaning against the side of the building. He came running and I just knocked him down. So just wait there. Police will be here in a moment. Sure enough, they came. So we got our stuff in the store, went home. Josh comes running in, his eyes, Mom, we knocked down a bad guy. His eyes, but he's right down behind the dash. He wasn't getting out of there. And I said it. I said, yeah, we killed the bear and Pa shot it. Yeah. You know how we are. He said, I found this guy. I found this kid, this little Jewish kid. And he's the one that can do it. I found him. Maybe he's looking for a raise or something. I don't know. The king answered and said to Daniel, verse 26, whose name was Belteshazzar. Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I've seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel, he looks at Daniel. Now remember, the wisest men in the land, all of them together, couldn't do this. And the king is basically saying to Daniel, I remember this kid, like him. I like his, you know, Jewish, little Jewish kid, one of the Jewish capital. You know, and he looks at him and here's the question. Son, kid,
Now, do you really think that all these wise men couldn't do it, but that you can? Do you really think that, kid? Is that what you're telling me? And look at Daniel's response. What a wise man. Daniel answered in the presence of the king, verse 27. And he said, the secret which the king has demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king. No, none of those men could. But there is a God in heaven. See? There's a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. I like it. I'm not anything by myself. All those wise men couldn't do it. And I'm not saying I can. I'm telling you this. There's a God in heaven that can, and he has. And he's shown you what's going to happen from now to the end times, to the latter days. Verse 29 says, as for you, here's the interpretation. As for you, O king, your thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that reveals secrets makes known to thee what shall happen or what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou might know the thoughts of thy heart. Let's say that in English. Daniel makes it crystal clear. This has nothing to do with me. This is all about God. There's nothing special in me. Think about that. Can we all say that honestly? I know that if God will use me, I know that if God will use you, we can honestly say, it was the Lord that did it. There's nothing special about me. There's nothing special in me. I'm not smarter than all the wise men, he said, but the God in heaven, God Almighty is. And that's who's given you the dream. And he's just allowed me to see the dream and the interpretation. So it's not about me. And he says, this is what was going on, King. You were on your bed, concerned about what will come to pass. What's going to happen to the kingdom? What will come down the road? And he humbly says, this is the Lord. All glory, all honor, all the credit goes to God because the Lord has done this. He's shown it to you. Look at verse 31. Thou, O king, saw and behold a great image. He's telling him the dream now. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before you, and the form thereof was awesome. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part iron and part clay. You saw till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and broke them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Daniel says, King, here's what your dream was. You saw an image with a head of gold, and the shoulders and silver of brass, and the thighs and the shoulders, the shoulders and the arms of silver, and the thigh and the belly of brass, and then the legs of iron, and then the feet of iron mixed with clay. That's what you saw. That was your whole dream. And then you saw a stone, a rock, that was cut out without hands, come flying at this image, hitting it in the feet, in the iron and clay part, and crushing the entire statue falls down, the entire image, crushed to dust, and the dust blows them away, and the stone grows and fills the earth. In other words, that's the next kingdom. And it's going to fill the entire earth. And all these Gentile kingdoms are gone. That's what you saw. Now, let me tell you what it means. You know, the king had to be sitting there just amazed, right? Here's what you saw. You saw an image and its head of gold. And the king's going, wow, dude, that's right. That had to freak him out, wouldn't you think? Now, he's going to listen closely to this interpretation. That is the dream. I'm sure he's all ears now when it comes to the interpretation. But look at verse 37. Thou, O king, art a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you, notice, given you the kingdom, power and strength and glory. Wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, he hath given into your hand, hath made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. In this image, the Babylonian kingdom, King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian kingdom, that's the head of gold. That's the kingdom of Babylon. The greatest Gentile kingdom that there has ever been. What do you mean the greatest? Well, the next turns out to be silver, a little less than gold. The next, brass, a little less than silver. The next, iron, a little less than brass. The next, iron mixed with clay. The greatest Gentile kingdom that there has ever been on the planet was King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian kingdom. And you, O king, are that head of gold. And after you, verse 39, shall arise another kingdom inferior to you. And another. So you notice the shoulders and arms of brass or of silver are another kingdom. And then another kingdom of brass, the belly and thighs, another kingdom, which shall bear rule over the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. So there's your fourth kingdom. For as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, and as iron that breaks all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. He described the Roman Empire, though it's unheard of at this moment. He described the Roman Empire perfectly. They crushed everything in their path. They subdued everything that they put their hands on. They couldn't be stopped. Well, and whereas you saw the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as you saw iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas you saw iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. So what he's just seen in the dream, here's the interpretation. He's seen all of history from the Babylonian Empire all the way through to the end, to when Jesus Christ comes to set up his throne. Did you hear that? Even though it's all future to Daniel, he writes it down and it's perfectly correct. That's why scholars believe Daniel could have written this. How could someone know the future that clearly? There is a God in heaven who does. So Daniel says, after you is coming a kingdom of silver, not gold. They're not quite like you, the Medes and the Persians. Now, Daniel didn't know who they were, and it will be a lot later on in his life when they show up. But then there's a kingdom coming that's going to overtake the Medes and the Persians. And that's that belly and thighs of brass. That would be the Greek kingdom, Alexander the Great. And then the kingdom that would destroy Alexander's kingdom. Well, of course, Alexander died. The four generals took over and they're going to get crushed. Was the Roman kingdom. Did you hear that? The Babylonian kingdom, the Medes and Persians, the Greeks and the Romans. Those are the only four Gentile kingdoms that will oversee the earth until Jesus returns. How many of those kingdoms are history? All of them. But what you've got here is, remember, the Roman kingdom, the Roman Empire was never defeated. Underline, never. Go back and read the history. They have never been defeated. They collapsed from within because of the sin and the perversion of the whole thing. It collapsed from within. They have never been defeated. But in the last days, they will come back together. And so you'll see the iron for the strength. But you'll notice that it won't be the solid Roman Empire that it is. They will bring in others. And so you've got clay mixed with iron. Iron and clay do not mix. In other words, they won't hold together. Right now, we are seeing it, I believe, in the European Union. The Roman Empire revived, except they've got some in there that weren't a part of the original, and they're not solid and they're not steady. And you notice they're still struggling right now. The euro is much stronger than the dollar. So they're going to be a much more powerful outfit. But the trouble is they can't get themselves together. They won't stick. So you've got iron mixed with clay. When does the stone made without hands, by the way, the stone made without hands is Jesus. Good. When does that stone come flying and hit this image and crush all of Gentile rule? When? During the time of the ten kings. Let me read it. Verse 44. In the days of these kings, what kings? Those ten toes are kings. of the feet of the iron mixed with clay. During the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. See, Jesus Christ will return and destroy, hit the kingdoms of the earth all in the feet in the revived Roman Empire, and it will crush all Gentile rule. It'll be crushed at us, blown away. You'll never see Gentile rule again forever. Only God's kingdom. He says, and in the days of the kings, of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as you saw the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation sure. You can count on this. This is a fact, king. These are all the Gentile kingdoms that will ever be. How many of them are history? All of them. Except for the revived Roman Empire, which we're seeing a part of now. And when will the Lord return? During that time, guys, we live there. During the time of those 10 kings, that iron mixed with clay, the Lord will return and destroy all Gentile rule, and he will rule and reign forever and ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. I believe we're right in that time. We're perfectly ripe and set up for it. Other things are taking place. And of course, you see all the prophecy happening around us. He says, King, this is a sure thing. The truth is, you can count on all of this coming to pass. Well, that impressed the king. How do I know? Well, look at the next verse. Then the king, Nebuchadnezzar, fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors to him. He doesn't understand the God of heaven. It's not me, but there's a God in heaven. And the king has no idea what he's talking about. There's all kinds of gods out there. But this Daniel must be something, because look, he was able to tell me what I dreamed. He was even able to tell me what I was thinking before I fell asleep. You know, God knows everything. He knew what the king was thinking before he fell asleep. He gave him that dream. Tells Daniel what the dream is. Daniel says, here's the dream, here's the interpretation. It's not me or anything in me. It's the God of heaven. So the king is amazed. King says to Daniel, said, verse 47, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing you could reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. He saved the lives of these wise men. Now he is ruling over them. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Notice what just happened. Daniel never dreamed of this was going to happen to him. He just wanted to not be put to death. So he said, we need to ask God for mercy. And God gave him the dream and the interpretation. And he went before the king. And the king said, anybody that tells me, either if you don't tell me, I'll cut you up and destroy your house. If you tell me, I'll make you rich and I'll give you, you know, I'll just bless you. Well, Daniel has no idea that now he's in charge and he's over all these New Agers and all these cultists. You get the flow chart. You've got Nebuchadnezzar. Right under him is Daniel. And then Daniel remembers his friends. He didn't do this alone. Do you remember that? He went to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he said, guys, pray with me. We got to pray. They're going to put us to death. We have to pray. They all prayed. So he said, you know, it's God. It's not me. And you know what? If you're going to put me here, I respectfully request that you bring my... They prayed too. They're just as much part of this. Would you bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And the king goes, sure. Smart kids, they all are. So now look at the flow chart. You've got Nebuchadnezzar. You've got Daniel. You've got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then you have the New Agers and the cultists. Then you have the people. They have been raised up to positions of authority. Never asking for that. Just trusting God. Doing the things that God would have them do. Pray. Trust. I don't know what the Lord has in store for you or for me. We don't worry about that kind of thing. We just know that our God is good all the time. All the time He's good. Whatever He thinks
for my life, that's fine. Whatever he thinks, that's really fine. Sometimes I catch myself complaining. That's wrong. Sometimes I catch myself a little unhappy. I wanted it to go this way and it sort of went that way. And that's wrong too, because I should know by now that whatever he does for me is always better than what I would have done for myself. And whenever he says no, there is a good, solid reason. He doesn't just say no to watch me squirm. And when he says wait, and he knows how hard that is for me, he understands, and he's working in my life, and he's doing something that will grow me up, which is always my prayer. Lord, help to grow me up. I need to grow. And I know he's doing the same thing for you. He told you the entire future of Gentile kingdoms to the end of the age. And he told you that 2,600 years ago, while the Babylonians were in power, and no one would have dreamed the Medes and the Persians could have done what they did. And certainly no one thought the Greeks and Rome. I mean, there was nothing going on over there. Yet it was exactly as God said it would be. The head of gold, the shoulders and arms of silver, the thigh and the bellies and the thighs of brass, the legs of iron, and the feet of iron mixed with clay that won't stick together. All the Gentile rules. And during the time of those 10 kings, there of the feet, the 10 toes, Jesus Christ will return to this earth and crush all Gentile rule for eternity. And he will rule and reign forever. We're living close to that. Soon. He loves you. And I know every one of us is in a different place. Every one of us has different things going on in our lives, different health issues, different problems that probably are going on, because nobody's life is problem free. It just doesn't work that way. Not here on this planet. And through it all, God has it under control, and he's going to deal with it so that you are blessed, so that you are glorified, so that you are raised up to a position of authority to rule and reign with him forever. Trust him. He does love you. Let's bow our heads.